U.S. House Democratic leader Hakeem Jeffries has assured Connecticut Democrats that President Biden can win in November despite his poor performance in last week's debate.
As Joe Biden himself has acknowledged, the debate did not go the way that we would have hoped. It was a setback. But here's the thing, growing up in that church that I talked about, I learned that a setback is nothing more than a setup for a comeback. And the Democratic Party can always come back on behalf of the American people.
Jeffries gave the keynote speech at the Connecticut Democrats' annual fundraising dinner in Hartford over the weekend. He would be the speaker if Democrats win back the U.S. House in November. You're listening to After All Things, WSHU's daily news and culture update from the Long Island Sound region. Governor Hochul also weighs in on the debate. Connecticut's former chief public defender accuses the state of civil rights violations, and Bridgeport residents fight for a say in their community's environment. Those stories and more are ahead. I'm Sabrina Garone. New York Governor Kathy Hochul has joined other prominent Democrats in dismissing President Biden's debate performance last week. WSHU's Desiree DiIorio reports.
Hochul says she met with Biden the day after the debate and described him as fully alert and energetic. She urged Democrats to get back on the team in an interview on MSNBC's The Weekend.
One bad night does not affect 3.5 years of a stellar accomplishment.
Hochul says she's confident that Americans will re-elect Biden to a second term because she says the likely Republican nominee, Donald Trump, is unfit and unworthy for the presidency. U.S. House Minority Leader and New York Congressman Hakeem Jeffries told donors in Connecticut this weekend that the debate was a setback, but he expects the president will make a comeback. The New York Times editorial board called on Biden to end his candidacy, due in large part to Biden's stumbling delivery at the debate. Desiree DiIorio, WSHU News.
Connecticut's former chief public defender is accusing the state of civil rights violations after she was fired last month. WSHU's Shelley Hessman-Kadish reports.
The lawsuit filed in federal court by Tashawn Bowden-Lewis claims she was fired for her repeated complaints that she was discriminated against because of her race. Bowden-Lewis, who is the state's first Black chief public defender, claims she was disciplined for complaints of discrimination over 18 months before being fired by the Public Defender Services Commission. The six members of the commission are named in the suit. During Bowden-Lewis's tenure, the panel received a number of complaints about her management decisions and accusations of racism against senior agency lawyers. Shelley Hassman-Kadish, WSHU News.
A new townhome development offering affordable units in New Haven is now open. And as Eddie Martinez reports, it comes as the city grapples with a housing crisis.
40 tenants at 210 Valley Street can now call a new townhouse development their home. A majority of the units are affordable, says Yadira Vargas, a project manager for the townhomes.
It's always 30% of their income, so for every resident it's different.
The homes are carbon neutral and have energy-efficient air conditioning systems, says Karen DuBois-Walton, who heads the city's housing authority.
Their electric bills will be much more manageable than they would have been because their energy usage is going to be much lower.
But the apartments will only help a tiny amount of the 40,000 people currently waiting for affordable units. City officials say more projects are in the works. For the New England News Collaborative, I'm Eddie Martinez.
Residents of a Bridgeport housing complex pushed back against an expansion of two wastewater treatment facilities. More on that is ahead. First, a message from our supporter.
Local support comes from Hartford HealthCare, the only health system in the Northeast, with all its hospitals receiving A grades for safety from the Leapfrog Group, the nation's leading independent safety watchdog group. HartfordHealthCare.org.
5 state roads will be repaved on Long Island by 2026. Robert Moses Causeway, the Meadowbrook, and routes 454, 25, and 106. The $18 million project will improve 60 lane miles of pavement. Construction is set to begin in Suffolk this month during off-peak hours. A Connecticut Department of Transportation worker was killed on the job in Wallingford on Friday. 26-year-old Andrew D. Domenico of Meriden had been removing trash for mowing crews on the Wharton Brook Connector. The driver who hit him remained on the scene and is in state police custody. A 55-year-old East Haven woman failed a field sobriety test and has been charged with DWI. Traffic fatalities are on the rise on Long Island, according to a report from the New York State Comptroller. Nearly 1,200 motor vehicle fatalities occurred statewide in 2022, more than 200 of which happened on Long Island. Officials say that's due to an increase in texting behind the wheel, drunk driving, running red lights, and more. Connecticut children ages 15 and under will now have access to the state's Husky Health Program, regardless of their documented status. Governor Lamont joined advocates and state lawmakers at Fairhaven Community Health Center in New Haven to announce the expansion of the law that goes into effect this month.
If you're not healthy, if you're not taken care of, if you don't get a vaccine, if you're not able to be tested, that puts you at risk, and that puts our greater Connecticut family at risk. And we all look out for each other.
Children that were 12 years old last year and would have aged out of the program can continue to have coverage. In Bridgeport, residents of the P.T. Barnum Apartments are pushing against the expansion of two wastewater treatment facilities. WSHU's Ebong Udama spoke with the Connecticut Mirror's former reporter, Jaden Edison, to discuss his reporting on this story. It's part of the collaborative podcast, Long Story Short.
Let's talk about P.T. Partners. How did they come onto your radar, and why did you decide to dig deeper into the organization?
Yeah, so it was post 2023 legislative session, really just looking for opportunities to kind of get into areas of justice coverage, right? Having to do with low income communities, you know, people who are disproportionately affected by, you know, said decisions at the state level, how the decisions made at the Capitol as it pertains to, you know, it can be voting rights, it can be the environment. And in this particular instance, it is the environment. But my approach was, you know, how can we find more stories that kind of convey, you know, the effect of said decisions and debates and discussions that are made at the policy level? And so that kind of led us on this journey of, you know, environmental justice. We know the environment is such a, you know, you have, you know, climate change, you know, you have communities who reside in environmentally hazardous areas, right? Whether it be industry, you know, wastewater treatment plants, as P.T. Barnum residents are. And so where can we find kind of that human impact? And so that was kind of the initial kind of thought and question framework. Didn't know it would end up at P.T. Barnum with P.T. Partners. But ultimately it did, after kind of asking people around about different things going on as it pertains to environmental justice. And so spoke with them very early on and was very intrigued by kind of the more recent battles that they've been having with some of the industry, you know, in their community. And so it just started the journey from there.
Okay. Now, talking about P.T. Partners, they're very involved with the fact that they have two wastewater treatment plants in the proximity of the housing complex. How are they dealing with this? And these plants have been there for years. P.T. Barnum was built in the 1940s, and I'm sure the waste treatment plants have been there for the past 50 years or more. So could you just tell us a little bit about it? Because actually, there's a situation of an 8-year-old who lost his life in one of those waste treatment plants quite a few years ago, Gary Crooks. Could you just tell us a little bit about the history of this and why we are where we are today with P.T. Barnum?
Yeah, so it's a really fascinating one, right? Like, I would start with the fact that, you know, this is, you know, a community that, in addition to the wastewater treatment plants, is just surrounded by so much. Like, if you go to the neighborhood, it's like, I'm almost astounded by I mean, you just look around and it's so, you know, from plastic fabrication companies to, I mean, I-95 is literally right there in sight, right? And obviously the wastewater treatment plants, as you mentioned, right, which has a particular history, and right?
We've also got asphalt plants right across from the
exactly.
place.
And so, I mean, let's look at Gary Crooks, for example, right? An 8-year-old child, right, who died after drowning in one of the settling tanks at one of the wastewater treatment plants, right, which in many ways kind of, you know, mobilized the community, right, around, you know, the environment and the conditions. And so you look now where we are in 2024 is this is a community that has been through a lot. And this is also a community that wants to have a say in the conditions and around their health. And so particularly with this, right, you've had the WPCA, you know, which was ordered to expand and Water Pollution Control Authority, right, which operates the wastewater treatment plants, who were ordered by the state, hey, you're polluting the Long Island Sound. And so we need to make these changes. There haven't been any major facility upgrades since the 2000s. So we need to make these changes to address the problem. Well, what seems to have gotten lost in that were the residents who, by their account, had not been involved at all in the early processes of any kind of renovation plans. And so effectively what you see in practice now is a community that just wants to have a say in what's going to happen, right? Like, this has been here, you know, we've gotten these terrible smells that are most prevalent during the summertime, right? We know that many of our residents, even though we don't have statistics, we know anecdotally that many of our residents struggle with asthma and other health-related problems. And we know that the industry surrounding us at least plays some role in kind of the health of our community. And so we want to have a say, and we should have a say given our proximity to you know, the plants.
So are PT partners having a say now?
Yeah,
have they been able to get there?
Yeah, it's been a struggle right now. And I should clarify too that PT Partners itself, right, the organization is somewhat different from PT Barnum residents, right? So you have a number of PT Barnum residents who make up PT Partners. But
PT Partners involves the three housing complexes in Bridgeport.
Right, two other, right? But obviously PT Barnum is kind of, in many ways, kind of the home base, right? Many of the residents, you know, they are the people who kind of, who keep the ship afloat. And so I think, you know, since engaging with the Water Pollution Control Authority in 2021, I think they have had some success in terms of, you know, here are our demands, and the WPCA in response working at least somewhat to implement some of those things. But I think, you know, what the residents would say is that it's been a struggle, right? And they feel that there has been a situation where they've had to unnecessarily over-explain why we should have a say in our health and our community, and that there has, and from their belief, been a misunderstanding or a lack of understanding, right, in some cases of why they're asking, you know, and why they're fighting for what they're fighting for. So I think, yeah, you've seen some success, and you've gotten the recognition of people, you know, who are around. You know, we have, you know, local City Councilman Scott Burns, who talked about kind of how, you know, PT Partners has really been great in terms of advocating for itself, right, and lending itself, you know, credibility in the community, right? And that's a byproduct of the work and the mobilization that they've done. So the short answer again is that I think they've had some wins, but maybe not at the pace that they would like to see. And I also think that they would like a lot more to happen at a faster pace.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Jaden.
No, absolutely. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Jaden Edison is a former justice reporter with the Connecticut Mirror. I'm Ebong Udama.
For the latest news from Long Island and Connecticut, you can listen on the radio, stream online at WSHU.org, or download the WSHU app. After All Things is supported by Hartford HealthCare. And as always, if you have any thoughts or story ideas you'd like to share with us, please feel free to reach out. The best way to do that is by email, and it's news@WSHU.org. I'm Sabrina Garone. Have a great rest of your day. I'll talk to you later.